Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Ghirelli, Italy's premier rosary designer, creates beautiful heirloom quality rosaries for every season and celebration. Hundreds of unique rosaries honoring Jesus, Mary, and the saints await you at Ghirelli.com. With CMF Curo, you don't have to compromise your faith to get great health care. Finally, there is a pro-life option that respects and engages your Catholic faith with a community that supports you in living healthcare fully alive. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
O Lord my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes.
Okay, start off with this. You ever notice driving, say, from Carson to Lincoln, heading toward Knott's Berry Farm, Anaheim? There are a lot of different churches. A lot of different churches. Maybe you can name them. The Baptist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Congregationalist, Anglican, Foursquare Church, Methodist Church. No, these are called the Californians. If you're from California, they call them the Christian churches. If you're from the East Coast, we call them Protestant. You move from one part of the country to the other, there's actually a different way that we speak in choice of words, okay? And if you're not attentive, you might not be able to pick up the difference from the exterior, because they're going to have a cross on the top. They might have a statue outside. But there was a really big difference. So we live in a pluralistic, multicultural, as well as multi-religious, ethnic, as well as religious environment. If I can speak intellectually to you people. If you go to the Philippines, you got almost everyone that's Catholic. If you go to Mexico, almost everyone is Catholic. If you go to Argentina, almost everyone is Catholic. If you go to the United States, you've got so many different religions that your head almost spins. So the purpose of this class is to give you a clear definition of the Catholic Church. David, can you tell me the difference between the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church? Any difference?
Yeah. The Christian.
Okay.
They don't give as much like praise to the Virgin Mary.
So they don't pray to Mary. That's a big difference. See if we can. Okay, good. That's a key difference. They don't believe in praying to Mary. They believe in praying just to Jesus Christ as the only Savior.
They don't believe in saints.
Okay, that's usually the case, unless if you have, it's an Episcopalian church or an Anglican church, they'll actually name the church sometimes St. John the Baptist. So it would be the saints of the Bible they actually use in some of the Protestant churches. But they don't believe in praying to the saints. That's what you're saying, right? We believe that we can pray to the saints and the saints bring our prayers to God. It's called the communion of saints. Any other difference? The differences are enormous, really.
One has a pastor, the other one doesn't.
Okay, good. So they've got a pastor, whereas we have priests and bishops, and we've got the papacy.
Yeah.
Right, okay, they don't have the papacy. They would have, some like the Lutherans, they'll actually have bishops. But they don't have a supreme authority, which would be the Pope. You know how many popes we've had since St. Peter? 266. Okay, so from Peter to Francis, 266 altogether. Another difference? It's good to know it.
They don't do confession?
Okay. They don't have the sacrament of confession. Most of them, what they'll do is if they have a sin, they believe they can confess directly to God. Like wireless, Verizon, they can kind of connect with God right away without the operator. That'd be much easier, wouldn't it? We all struggle to go to confession, probably most of us. Probably before going to confession, you're a little bit afraid, or you maybe want to put it off until some later date. It'd actually be pretty easy. God, I ripped off a bike from Target. I'm sorry. Thank you for forgiving me. Let's move on, no? Pretty easy, huh? But we have to confess through the priest. The priest represents Christ. Another difference? Say it a little bit louder.
One believes in the Old Testament.
Okay, you're confusing the Jewish religion. Like you ever meet a Jewish person that maybe has a yarmulke on? You ever hear of a Jewish synagogue? They're in L.A. They just have the Old Testament. Whereas the other religion, say for example the Protestants or the Christians, they do have the Bible, the New Testament also. What do you think? Do you have other difference? Here, where, you know, almost all of you are Latinos, and we have a couple of Filipinos. So your culture is almost all Catholic. You go to Manila or Cebu, I think it's 83-84%, maybe higher, no? Whereas here in this country is more Protestant than Catholic. It's difficult for you to understand that because you guys and my dad would say you're local yokels, which means you're kind of provincial. You never leave this environment. But if you go to Alabama or Arkansas or Mississippi, or you go to New Hampshire, you're going to be meeting almost all the people there are Protestants. I was in Alabama on EWTN, I think like 2% are Catholic, no? A lot of people that are close to EWTN has been there for 40 years, they didn't even know that it's there. Another difference? What were you going to say? Oh, yeah. Another difference between the Christian religion and the Catholic.
Oh, one supports gay people, the other one doesn't?
It's a good point. Is that the thing is, there are so many different Protestant religions. I think last I heard there are about 40,000 different ones, and there's just one Catholic Church. Not all. The conservative Baptists are pretty strongly against it. Because you have different branches of the Baptist Church. Whereas a Catholic Church does not allow for the practice of homosexuality. So the moral teaching that's to say that the interpretation of the Ten Commandments is different. How about our eschatology compared to theirs? Do you know what eschatology means? You who are a walking theological dictionary, what would you say? Eschatology. Do you know that one, George? Is that a new word for you? It's the study of the last things we have in the exercise. It's the reality of death, judgment, heaven and hell. We believe in that, but we have something that they don't believe in. Umberto? Purgatory. No, we believe in purgatory. They don't believe in purgatory. They believe either you go to heaven or you go to hell, but there's no middle state. We believe in purgatory. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. What else? How about the Bible? How about the Christian Bible and the Catholic Bible?
Doesn't the Catholic Bible have like 72 books?
Pretty good. Pretty close. The Catholic has 73, and the Protestants have 66. Do you know where the difference came in? You guys study history at school?
Oh, not yet. Next year.
Okay. Did you ever hear of the it was called the Protestant Reformation? You hear about that?
Yeah.
You got the Protestant Reformation? You've heard of that? So, you know, the Catholic Church was the universal church until the 16th century. And then in England, there was a man, his name was King Henry VIII. Ever hear of him?
Yes.
No.
Okay, King Henry VIII. Who's heard of King Henry VIII? Who is he? Okay, who is he? He was the King of England in the 1500s, and his wife couldn't give him any kids. So he got really angry, he was frustrated. So there was another beautiful woman, her name was Anne Boleyn, and what he decided was he rejected his... What are you doing? He rejected his wife, who was married in the church, and decided he was going to take another wife. Now that's called adultery, right? Adultery means, you know, you're cheating on your wife. So he asked the Pope if he could do that, and the Pope said, yeah, you can't do that because that's adultery. So one of his best friends, who was the second most powerful person in England, is one of the best movies you can ever see, he's called The Man for All Seasons. His name was Thomas More. Okay? Sir Thomas More, he would be like, he was the Chancellor of England, which was number two after the king. And Henry VIII said, you have to support me. And Thomas More said, I can't. So King Henry VIII threw him in the Tower of London, trying to get him to accept his new relationship, but he wouldn't. And finally, Thomas More was beheaded. He chopped off his head. And then Henry VIII, what he did was he founded a new church called the Church of England. We call it the Anglican Church. And here it's called the Episcopalian Church, but it's the same. So that religion was founded by a king upon adultery. I mean, you can't deny that, no? Well, George, I mean, you can't deny it. I mean, you can pervert history, but you can't sidestep that. And I think that's one of the best arguments for Catholicism, is that you have their religion was based on this man who couldn't control his lustful desires. Like King Herod, kind of like John Baptist and King Herod. Would be the same. So the Christian faith is a man-made religion. The Catholic faith was founded by Jesus Christ. Right? The Catholic religion was founded by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago upon Peter the Rock. Whereas the Protestant religion is a man-made religion. You mentioned another guy. Begin with L-U.
Oh, Martin Luther.
Okay, Martin Luther started the Protestant Reformation in Germany. So it was Henry VIII in England. And Martin Luther was actually, he was an Augustinian friar. So that the church was selling indulgences, which was wrong. There were a lot of problems within the church, so he decided to separate from the Catholic Church, and he founded what is now called the Lutheran Church. So if you go to Germany, half of Germany is Catholic, the other half of Germany is Protestant. So if you ever go to Germany, you go to Munich and you go to Frankfurt, which is the northern part of Germany, they're all Lutherans. Go to the southern part, Bavaria, they're Catholics. And that's why I'm Catholic, because my great-grandparents came from Bavaria, on my mom's side. Otherwise, I would be probably a Lutheran minister. So our Catholic religion is a religion based, founded by Jesus Christ. Theirs is a man-made religion. But you didn't mention the biggest difference would be the sacraments. How many sacraments do we have? Do you know how many sacraments we have?
Three.
Can you name them?
There's baptism, there's the Holy Communion.
Good.
There's confirmation.
Good.
Holy
Order. Good.
Matrimony and anointing of the sick.
Good. So we've got 7 sacraments. Well done. You know how many sacraments they have? Joyce, you know? They actually have 2. Their baptism is valid. You guys know how to baptize, right? You say, for example, an emergency, you guys could baptize. What would you have to do? No, it doesn't have to be holy water.
And then I'm like,
I told you guys about a month ago. No. Humberto, what do you have to say? I baptize you in the... David? You forgot one thing.
I baptize in the name of God.
You always forget that one of the most important things. Can you baptize an anonymous individual?
No.
You gotta say the name, right? You gotta say the name, right? Just in the air. No. So, Humberto, David, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And their marriage would be valid. Okay? But how about Holy Communion?
You have to do your First Communion.
What are you going to say?
You need to get it from a priest?
No, it depends on the group. They have what's called a communion service. Once a month, and they'll have crackers and grape juice. Sometimes wine too. So they've got crackers and grape juice. So they don't have, that's not the body and blood of Christ. That's called a symbol. It's a symbolic representation. But we have the real presence, because their pastor is not a priest. Pastor would be like your father. Your pastor, I mean, guy that knows the Bible a little bit, can maybe sing and maybe dance a little bit, maybe can preach, you know. Maybe if he's charismatic flair, he might be able to tell us some stories, some jokes, you know. Like Joel Osteen is pretty debonair. Very innocuous in the way he speaks, not to hurt anyone's feelings, right? But to be able to consecrate, you have to have holy orders. In holy orders, it's called the priesthood. What about their anthropology? What that means, the study of man. What would their vision be? What about the Catholic vision? You're an intellectual in disguise. What would be the Catholic vision of human anthropology? It means the study of man. What do you think?
Ordained by God.
Well said. Are we good or bad?
Both.
What do the Lutherans say? Lutherans say that man is basically evil. Okay? They believe it. Basically evil. Okay? We have a corrupt human nature. But how are we saved? Now, our salvation is different than theirs. It's this. Say, for example, you go to an altar call. You maybe see some of these Protestant movies. They're using an altar call and say, how many of you want to be saved? Altar call. How many want to be saved? Raise your hands. And then they raise their hand, and then the pastor will say this. And I'm not saying this to make fun of them, but this is what they do. Okay, now you have to, they say you have to close your eyes, and you have to say this prayer. I recognize that I'm a miserable sinner, but I accept Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Jesus, come into my life and save me. So if you say that prayer, recognizing you're a sinner, you say that prayer, in that moment, you're saved. A once saved, always saved. That's what they believe. Even some, you know, brilliant people like Billy Graham, and, you know, it seemed to be so overly simplistic, even some of the greatest Christians in the history of the world. What about us? Are we saved by that way?
No.
Okay, can you tell me how we're going to be saved, how you're going to get to heaven? Okay, they believe in faith and faith alone. Okay? They believe you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you're saved. Faith and faith alone saved. We believe what you said, faith and good works. Faith and charity. What's the most important virtue for them is, the most important virtue for them is that of faith. You place your faith in Jesus, you're saved. What about us? It's got to be faith and charity. Charity means supernatural love. I'll tell you someone who has a really strong faith. His name is the devil. You hear that? The devil has faith because the devil believes in God, but the devil hates God. The devil probably has more faith than you guys. Well, maybe I'm shocking you. The devil believes that God exists. That's why he tempts us so much. Because the devil wants to drag us into hell by the temptations. But the devil doesn't have any love. So for us, for the Protestants, the most important virtue is faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. You place your faith, once saved, always saved. But for us, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. And until the very end, till the very end, you can lose God. I like baseball analogies. I mean, if you're playing baseball, you play 6 innings or 7 or 9 innings now?
I think it's 7.
7, okay. Say, for example, the bottom of the 7th, you're winning 3-0, and then the other team is up to bat. You're winning 3-0. So 2 outs, and base is loaded. And your best friend is on the other team, and he ends up by hitting a grand slam. I mean, you lost. you're winning the whole time, but he belted a grand slam into the bleachers. Sorry, David, you lost. So until the very end, you could lose. You're to the very end of our life, to the very end of our life, we could lose our souls if we reject God. David, you know the hardest ball hit in baseball according to the Guinness World Record? Can I tell you? No. Mickey Mantle. 1960, September. 634 feet. Hit it out of Dodger Stadium into a lumber yard. 634 feet. Can you imagine that? That's to a football field. Imagine a guy hitting a ball 2 football fields, no? Oh, that has nothing to do with our class, no? But a little bit of comic relief, huh? So there is a big difference. There's a big difference between the Christian faith and the Protestant faith, or the Catholic faith. Got that? So we have to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. If we die in the state of grace, we're saved. So you die in the state of grace, you're saved forever. We're going to try to maintain grace. Okay, are you ready?
I am.
Who's that person on our, who's that person, that picture?
St. Augustine.
St.
Peter the Pope.
St. Peter. Okay, church. Our church is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. Ready? We have never lived in a world with so much information, especially due to the internet. But at the same time, we've never lived in a world with so much confusion. Information, but also confusion. So true, huh? Since the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century, there were sprouted up countless different denominations of Protestantism. Countless. Which means you can't even count the number. There's so many. Catholicism is different. The Catholic religion is very different from all religions. It is a church founded by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. In the Catholic Church founded by Jesus on the rock, Peter, or Petra, there is the fullness of the truth. Therefore, we should be very humble that we are Catholics and very thankful that we are Catholics. Nonetheless, we have a responsibility to live out our faith and give the witness of good example that we are Catholics by positive fruits of holiness. In the early church, many people were impressed by the followers of Christ and would exclaim, look how much they love each other, the Acts of the Apostles. Here is a challenging question. Would those people who know me at school, in sports, in social activities, notice difference in me from the others by the way I live, talk, walk? Más o menos, huh? Let us pray that they would. And Jesus said that He is the light of the world. He also said, you are the light of the world. This being said, let us learn how we can identify the Catholic Church. That is to say, what are the four marks or four signs of the Catholic Church? Now, what do these four marks mean to me, and how do these marks touch my life? Many people, even Catholics, today blurt out, well, I really do love Jesus Christ, however, I do not like the Church. Sad to say. We will learn that this is dead wrong and downright poisonous for our spiritual life and our eternal salvation. In a word, to love Jesus is to love what Jesus loves and what Jesus left us to help us to get to heaven, and this is the Catholic Church. Now let us delve deep into the four marks of the Catholic Church. So before saying this, all of you, you're Catholics, and you should never change religion. Change religion, that's a mortal sin. Yeah, you come back, but stay in the Catholic Church. Every church has problems. Stay in the Catholic Church. Do you remember Noah and the ark? Who was saved? Those inside the ark or those outside the ark? The church is the ark of Noah. Stay in, otherwise you're going to drown. Okay? Otherwise you're going to drown. All those animals, all the people, they were deluged and they were submerged in that deluge. Stay in the church. And you make it a better place to be by becoming a saint. Okay? Work on that, okay? Okay, what are the four marks? What are the four marks of the Catholic Church? The four marks of the Catholic Church are?
Catholic.
You say it every time you go to Mass on Sunday. You say it when you profess the creed.
Oh, and then the Father.
Nope. No, okay, in order. One, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. You got that? One, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. Una Santa Católica Apostólica. Si hablas español, okay? Some of you go to Mass in Spanish, right? Una Santa Católica Apostólica. That'd be the order. Okay. Do we pray this? Yes. Write this in every Sunday in the Creed. Which means I believe. After the homily of the priest, we stand and we pray. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. What does one mean? Response is very simple. A little more than 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, founded the true church. Write that in there. He founded the true church. We call it the Catholic Church. It's founded on Peter, which actually, from Greek, means rock. So the word Petra means rock. The church was founded upon Peter. Peter was the first pope. What does holy mean? Holy means stainless, or write it in there, without sin. Like Mary, the Immaculate Conception. The church is holy, most especially because its founder was and is and always will be holy. And who's the founder? Write it in there, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the sinless one, born of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Furthermore, the church is holy because of the sacraments. We'll study them in later lessons. Still, the sacraments are external signs instituted by Christ to communicate grace. That's the definition of a sacrament. If we receive the sacraments well, then they make us holy. We are called to be holy. We are called to be saints as Jesus commanded, be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. Do you know mortal enemy number one to holiness? Mortal sin. Then venial sin. That's mortal enemy number one. He's committing a mortal sin. Okay, Catholic. Catholic. We have any Greek scholars here? Catholic. The word comes from the Greek language. And it simply means this. It means universal. Catholic means universal. In concrete, the Catholic Church is universal and it is open to all. It's not just for the Mexicans or the Filipinos, okay? Or for the Argentine. Catholic Church is open to all. Anyone who wants to enter the Catholic Church can come in. It's called an open door policy. Okay? Open door policy. But you got to come in, you got to be prepared, you got to be baptized, okay? But anyone wants to become a Catholic can become a Catholic. You too, you could become a Catholic. You are a Catholic, aren't you?
Yeah,
could
this open to everyone, even the gay people?
Yes. 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 However, if someone says he's gay or lesbian, has to control his passions and not have relations. You got that? If someone says he's gay or lesbian, hey, no sex with guys or no sex with girl, you can't do that. You just have to live a celibate life. And the church is not discriminated. The church is not discriminating. It's open. It's open to adulterers too. Adulterers, those who cheat on their wives. They can, but they have to try to stop doing that. Right? It's open to drug addicts, but they try to give up the drugs. It's open to drunks, and sometimes drunks come into the church, but they have to try to give up their vices. Yeah. The church is for sinners, but all of us are sinners. We have to try to fight against our sins. We're all sinners. We all have our own struggles. Everyone here has a different struggle, a different devil that goes after you. You got a guardian angel, but you got a devil too. Something more than one devil. You have to try to resist the devil that's going after you. Okay, so it's open to all, absolutely all. It does not matter age, race, culture, ethnical background, tall or small, black or white, brown or yellow. All peoples are called to enter the Catholic Church. The last words of Jesus, recorded in Matthew chapter 8, 28 are, go out to all nations. Teach all that I have taught you. Baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Behold, I will be with you always until the end of the world. You know what that means? Jesus wants everyone to be Catholic. What is it, 7.1 billion in the world today? I'm not a sociology major, but I think it's about 7 billion, something like that, close to it. There's about 1.2 billion Catholics, which would be about 18%, something like that. So still we have a lot of work to do. Jesus wants everyone to be Catholic. That's called to be a missionary, try to bring as many people into the Catholic Church as possible by living holy lives. Okay, let's move on. Apostolic. I think you've heard the word apostolic before. It comes from the word apostle, right? In this word, you can see almost hidden the word apostle. Apostle. Once again, the word apostle comes from Greek, and it means sent. Okay, apostle means sent. Okay. Okay, you're winding up to throw a fastball. Okay, sent. They were, okay, the apostles, they were 11 in number, or 12, or 72?
72.
They were 12. 72 would be the disciples. We're talking about the 12 apostles. Can you name them? I don't think anyone can name 12 apostles. Okay. So, there are 12 apostles. No, you're going back. You should have it memorized by now, okay? Okay, the Catholic Church was founded upon the 12 apostles. Who was the prince of the apostles, the first pope? I already mentioned it. St. Peter. Write that in there. St. Peter was the prince of the apostles and called to become the first pope, the first pope. This means that St. Peter would be the visible representative of Jesus on earth. He'll be the visible representative of Jesus on earth. Can you name there are 266 popes? If all of you could memorize the 266 popes by next week, I'll give you $10. I really will. I'll give you $10.
$1 for each pope. $1 for each pope. Come on.
Okay, well, let's go through the popes in the last century. Okay, ready? I'll give you the popes in the last century. Okay, the present pope, whose name is, you know? Pope Francis, you know that. Okay, Pope Francis, before being a pope, was the Archbishop Cardinal of Buenos Aires. Don't tell me you don't know where Buenos Aires is, Argentina, okay? Right now, this is the first time this has happened in about 400 years. There's actually two popes right now. Did you know that? No? There's actually two popes right now. The other pope, he actually retired because he felt that God was calling him to retire. He's born in 1927, which would be a year before my dad. And his name is Pope Benedict XVI. Okay, he felt God was calling him to retire. It's about the first time this happened in hundreds of years. And according to canon law, he can do that. That's licit according to canon law if he feels that it's just too much. So he was he's already in his 90s, he'd have to travel all over the world. He probably felt it was just too much for him because of his health. So there's one pope that has resigned, and then another pope is the reigning pope right now. So Pope Francis, Pope Benedict, and the pope before this was one of the most famous popes in the history of Catholicism. And he happened to have ordained someone who's in this room. He actually ordained me. So I've got holy hair. Huh? You've heard that before. I've got holy hair. Huh? I'm a walking relic. His name was John Pope... The what?
The second.
John Paul II. He was a pope from 1978 up to 2005. It's the third longest pontificate in the history of Catholicism. It was Peter was the longest, and then I think it was Pope Pius IX was a little bit longer. The third longest in the history of Catholicism, John Paul II. Before him would be John Paul I. Who was before him? One of your friends. Pope Paul VI. Okay? You like his writings, right? And who was before him? He's canonized with John Paul II. It'd be John the 23rd. And who was the pope before him when I was a little baby? Pope Pius the 12th. Who was the pope before him? Pope Pius the 11th. Who was the pope before him? Pope Leo the 13th. No, Pope Benedict the 12th, and then Pope Leo the 13th. So those would be the popes in the last century. Tell you an interesting story.
When there are three popes, do you have to know all their names?
What?
When there are three popes, do you also need to know their names?
You should know them, yeah. Many, many years ago, there were actually three popes at the same time. There was a lot of confusion in the church in the 15th century with Catherine of Siena. But you know what happened? One of my great aunts, about 70 years ago, traveled to Rome, and then she had an audience with Pope Pius the 12th. Hey, turn around. And my aunt was with Pope Pius the 12th. Do you know what Zucchetto is? That would be the white skull cap that he has in Italian, Zucchetto. My grand aunt, had a headache. And the Pope was there with him, and she kept touching her head because she had a headache. And he took off the skull cap and gave that cap to my aunt. And now in our possession, we have a skull cap of Pope Pius XII. My brother Jim built a church in New Hampshire, and it's encased right there now. Cool, isn't it? And they're working on canonizing him now. The biggest objection, they said he didn't defend the Jews against Hitler, which is a lie anyway. He opened up a lot of monasteries to save the Jews, but they say he didn't help the Jews against the Nazis back in the 1940s, which is a lie. Got that? Okay. One day when you're in New Hampshire, you'll be able to see that famous skull cap in the Catholic school that my brother built, okay? Number 7. What is our obligation towards the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church? First of all, we should love the Church. As our beloved spiritual mother. We were born spiritually in the Church starting from baptism. Second, we should study and be in permanent formation so as to get to know about our church better and better. Be honest. We are learning our Catholic faith, but you got to be dead honest. We know very, very little about our Catholic faith. No, don't get angry at me, but we know very, 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 very little. But hopefully after this year and next year, we'll have a foundation on which we have to build, okay? Well, we know very little, and that's why we're here. So we hope in a couple of years you guys are going to have at least know the basics of the faith, be able to get to heaven. That's why we're here. The basics to be able to get the faith, get to heaven. Okay, next would be, third, we should...
Defend.
You have the key?
No.
Okay. Okay, we should defend. Well, he's a real Catholic scholar here. Third, we should defend our faith. Okay, as one defends one's mother, well, here on earth, so we should also be zealous in defending our church against the many attacks of the enemy, and there were many enemies of the Catholic Church. No, I had an experience. I walked the streets of Wine Gardens knocking on doors for many years, kind of like the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I was walking through Hawaiian Gardens years ago with a group of missionaries. And what? I probably visited all the houses at least 4 times because I would knock on doors and enter in, and I would enthrone images of Our Lady of Guadalupe. I'd get the people in the garage there, hear their confessions. I'm pretty assertive, pretty strong character, no? But I think it was on Civic Center. Civic Center in Juan, it's kind of like the center. And I met these guys, they're about 6'2", white shirt, black tie, and blonde, blue eyes, about 6'2". They kind of look like Mike Trout. Ever seen Mike Trout?
No.
Good looking guys, strong, muscular. And they were actually driving, they were on bikes, no?
Oh, it seems good. They come
knock
at your door and they like...
You know who they were, David?
The Mormons.
You know who they are? Mormons. You ever meet Mormons? The white shirt on, they got the tie, driving by. They're probably in their 20s. And I was walking and I stopped to talk with them. They're probably, I don't know, maybe from Salt Lake City. Typical Americans, no? And what I noticed is the white shirt, the tie, blue eyes. They spoke a perfect Spanish, better than the Mexicans. I said, man, And I was thinking, how did these guys who are brought up in Utah, how did they learn how to speak such perfect Spanish? I said, how did you guys learn your Spanish? Well, we went to Guatemala to pick up Spanish, to convert the Mexicans to become Mormons. Man.
What are Mormons? Those are guys that have like five wives, right?
For real?
No, no.
Like,
no.
What's that? Learn?
No, it's a false religious sect. But they're very, very strong. They go out two and two, and they knock on doors. They ride bikes. They play sports with teenagers. They'll play sports with you guys, and they'll beat you. And they're super athletes. Play baseball. They'll beat you 10-0. No, you know, they'll take you out for pizza afterward. No, they want you to leave the Catholic faith. Did you know that most Mormons, they used to be Catholics? Yeah. It's sad. Most Mormons, they were Catholic before. They gave up the Catholic faith, and they became Mormons. Isn't that sad, George? I mean, it shows how little we know our Catholic faith. And most of them, they used to be Catholics, giving up the Eucharist, no? So, I was kind of impressed that these guys spoke out. Their Spanish was impeccable. So they went to South America to pick it up and convert the Mexicans to Mormonism. What are we willing to save soul? Very little. Okay, let's move on.
What's left on
there? Okay, fourth.
Believe.
Even though the church has gone through struggles, trials, and storms the past 2,000 years, turn around. We should stay in the Catholic Church all the days of our lives. Noah and his family were saved when they stayed in the ark during the storm and the flood. So even in the midst of the storms of life, we must stay in the church, stay in the boat, stay in the bark of Peter. Okay, number the fifth. We should always strive to speak positively about our one holy Catholic and apostolic church. This indeed is very pleasing to Jesus, who left us his church, which is sometimes called the mystical body of Christ. Let us end with Mary. She is the mother of God, she is the mother of the church, and Mary is my spiritual mother. Mary, pray for us. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Thou art before me and thee heart,
okay.
And thou hast rolled my heart and heart. Upon me thou hast laid thy hand. O Lord, how could I understand?
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.